You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome one and all to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, July the 16th, and I am on the road again. Maybe we need to cue up that old Willie Nelson song. I can't remember in the 11 years I've been doing talk radio ever being out of town for two consecutive Saturdays. But alas, that is the case this evening. And if God wills and Jesus tarries, I will be back in Memphis next Saturday. But don't get the wrong impression, ladies and gentlemen. It's all for you. These are work and radio show related trips, and maybe I'll be able to tell you all about it if I ever get home. But I'm glad to be with you tonight remotely. Keith Alexander the Great is with us back at home base in Memphis. And so, Keith, I will tell you, anytime I use our remote broadcasting equipment, there is a chance that it could go out. So if all of a sudden I'm talking and then I'm just not there, I will count on you to pick up the ball and take it on across the goal line. Can you do that for me, buddy?
I'll give it my best shot, James.
I know you will, and your best shot is always right on the money. Well, welcome again, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's broadcast. A lot to discuss this evening, and since this is the political cesspool, very little of it will be good, at least for this first hour. Keith, as you know, we had Sean Bergen and Jim Lancia on the program last week. Sean, the former television news reporter, Jim, former career police officer or criminal justice correspondent, and we brought them on in a hurry, unexpectedly and previously unplanned, to talk about the horrific shooting in Dallas that dominated the show last week for two of the 3 hours. The black militant who shot 12 police officers, killing five in Dallas. And Sean and I were talking, and we were looking back over the course of the last 6 months to a year and how these terrorist attacks, both home and abroad, have become so numerous that they're hardly newsworthy. I mean, can you imagine? 12 police officers shot. It was the most devastating day for American law enforcement since 9/11. And Sean and I were talking, and I said, you know, do you even give this 2 weeks, a month before people go back to shopping? It's only been 1 week, Keith, and it's hard to find anything in the news about the Dallas shootings because another terrorist attack has manifested itself and taken the spotlight in Nice, France. Another non-white, let's just call it as it is, from, I believe, Tunisia, got in this big truck and was able to mow people down, man, woman, and child. And everybody saw these horrific photos of little girls in body bags with their toy doll just inches away, just the most gruesome and chilling scenes you can imagine. This is diversity. This is multiculturalism. And it's happening so frequently now, Keith, I wonder how much time we should even spend talking about it tonight. And I say that not glibly. This is just a devastating world we live in right now because the people in power have completely lost their minds and they're not safeguarding their people. They're not safeguarding our families. Your take on what happened in Nice, and then we'll talk more about some things that have happened here in Memphis and across the United States that's somewhat similar. Go, Keith.
Well, quite frankly, it's a long-expected race war manifesting itself throughout the white world. You said the attackers are invariably non-whites. The victims are invariably whites, primarily. The shooter in Dallas messed up and shot a Caucasian-looking Hispanic guy by accident, obviously. But all the policemen that were shot were white. The non-white Muslim attacker from Tunisia, from Northern Africa, drove a truck through a boulevard crowded with people celebrating France's equivalent of Independence Day. And I guarantee you 95%+ of all of those victims were white, European, Frenchmen, Europeans from other parts of Europe. There were even a pair of Americans, a father and son over there, that were killed. And Black Lives Matter, of course, is another non-white group targeting white policemen and white society and civilization generally. All of these things are coming to a head just before the Republican nominating committee convention in Cleveland, which starts this coming week. Who knows what's going to come of that, what type of protests, what type of demonstrations, what type of riots and violence we may be in store with. You know, hang on to your seat, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy ride. I can see really the whole lead-in to the election in November being punctuated with one attack like this after another. And it's going to present the voters with a very clear choice. They want a globalist in Hillary Clinton that basically thinks that it is a good thing to pour third worlders into America and into Europe and make these formerly white countries non-white, or do we want someone who's going to defend us, our people, and our nations, like Donald Trump? The course couldn't be clearer, and, you know, it's an incredible development. You know, you would think they would try to hide what they're doing, but, you know, for people like us, I guess for a lot of people in America and in Europe who have drunk the Kool-Aid of political correctness and multiculturalism, they may have trouble putting all of the pegs in place or all the pieces to the puzzle together. We here at the Political Cesspool, and our audience certainly doesn't, we know exactly what all this is. It's anti-white violence intended to accelerate the decline and fall of the white race in Europe and in America.
And it's, as we always say, there's no part of us that wants to go and remake the ancestral homelands of these other people into the image of Western man. But we also deserve to have homelands where our people can feel secure and our people can celebrate their history, culture, language, faith, traditions without fear of repercussion. And you see what happened in Nice. It's happening so often now. Again, you'd have to go back to last week's show because I can't even remember them off the top of my head. It's just happening so many times, and people just forget. It's becoming something that's commonplace to the point where it doesn't really – I don't know if it doesn't affect people, or maybe people are just numb to it, or maybe people have come to expect it. But until you stop it, until you cut off the spigot and you take, frankly, Israel's domestic policy where you deport everybody, then – I'm afraid this is going to continue. And looking at Nice, Keith, that one picture, I'll go back to it again. You know, I have a six-year-old daughter. Seeing this little girl in a body bag, she would be alive if these people had sensible immigration policies, if they would lock down and keep France for the Frenchmen. Those people would still be alive today. Make no mistake about it. Diversity is not our greatest strength. Diversity is death. It is part of the culture of death. I want everyone to live well and prosper. I want all of God's creatures to give it their best in this life. But we can't all live in America or in France or in Germany. We'll be back right after this.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
What's it been, ladies and gentlemen? 10 days, a week and a half, a little over a week since 12 cops were shot, 5 killed at a Black Lives Matter protest. The media kept calling that a peaceful protest. If that's peaceful, I sure hate to see what's violent. God almighty. 10 days later, it's barely news. I mean, they've started having the funerals for some of these police officers, and that's made a blip. But no, we've already moved on to what's happened in Nice, France, where 100 people were killed, mowed down by a truck. I saw this, Keith, on another website, and I agreed with the writer. This is what he wrote: many conservatives, including Newt Gingrich and others, have quipped that after Nice, quote-unquote liberal logic means that we must have federal truck regulations, background checks, waiting periods, maybe ignition locks, etc., before anyone climbs behind the wheel of a vehicle. But they are getting at something profound, though they didn't seem to be willing to follow their own insight to its logical conclusion. The question is, who? Not what. Planes, trains, and automobiles, even many household items, are weapons in the wrong hands. Is banning and deporting all Muslims from European countries fair? No, it's not. There are some that are peaceful and civilized. But is banning and deporting all Muslims necessary for European countries to survive? Yes, it is. And that's, look, Donald Trump is great. He's by far the best nominee of either of the two parties of the duopoly in my lifetime. There's no doubt about that. He's not Pat Buchanan. He's the best that ever made it across the finish line, though. The only problem with Trump is that he's too moderate. He wants to stop them from coming in. That's a hell of a start. I agree with that 100%, but it's not enough. I think, again, we need to look to Israel. Israel forcibly deports people that they don't like. And, of course, no one talks about that because it's anti-Semitic to criticize anyone who may be Jewish. And as we know all too well, that's pretty much the definition of anti-Semitism. But this is going to continue. It's going to happen more frequently because if we've shown one thing to the terrorists, Keith, it's that we're not going to get tough on them. We're going to pray for the victims. We're going to put up an avatar on our Facebook that has the flag of whatever country they've targeted. We're going to go back to shopping, and then the whole thing recycles. Take it away.
Well, we're going to be feckless unless Trump lives up to his promise. First of all, he has to be elected. Secondly, he has to live up to his promise. The Pence nomination is not a good sign, but quite frankly, there's no other nag to bet on in this particular Kentucky Derby other than Trump. And, you know, we need to keep this in mind. Basically, we need the best thing about Trump is that he is a throwback to the old America, the America of 1950s when I was born. For example, I tell you sometimes I love the old 1950 movie DOA, Dead on Arrival, starring Edmund O'Brien. And you asked me one time why I did. I said that portrayed an America where even a CPA was a kick-ass guy, okay? That's what we need. We need manly men. You know, our society is in such an advanced state of decay and decadence that it's incredible. I will just say this. Today I went out to a restaurant in Memphis, Tennessee. I see interracial couples everywhere. I see lesbian couples everywhere. I can't even imagine this happening in the 1950s America I was born into. That's just one symptom of the decadence that is part and parcel of the America that is supine when you're attacked and people are killed, and the Europe that is supine when they're attacked and killed. At least even the French recognize that America isn't as far down that path. Remember, I think it was probably about half a year ago or maybe a year ago, where two white tourists from America tackled a would-be terrorist on a French train and disarmed him. And they were so impressed, they said, what is it about Americans? Well, America is probably going to have to lead the way in bringing the white race back from the brink. I don't see it happening in Europe. I don't see these things. You know, why didn't somebody jump into the cab of that truck? Why didn't somebody have a gun, you know, in the crowd that could have taken that guy out once he sped past? We've got to, you know, we've got to have a society that wants to survive. We can't be like T.S. Eliot's protagonist in The Hollow Man, who said, this is a poem he wrote back in the earlier part of the 20th century. He said, this is the way the world will end, not with a bang, but a whimper. Unfortunately, if we get people like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama into office and their clones over in Europe like Angela Merkel and David Cameron, what you're going to see is a lot of hand-wringing, a lot of kumbaya, and a whole lot of nothing. And, you know, with Donald Trump, even a little bit of something beats a whole lot of nothing.
And well, look, and there's no doubt about that. When I say he's too moderate, that's not really a snide remark. There could be more done. I'm just saying, stopping them from coming in, building a wall. Look, no one's going to do that but Trump. I mean, he's got 110% of my full support.
He's got to get elected first, and he may have to dissemble to get elected. And quite frankly, if that's what he's doing, if he's dissembling, if he's giving them a head fake or whatnot, I'm all for it. Because
no, I agree with you 100%. It's not criticism just to be a contrarian. I get annoyed sometimes that some of the people in our ranks, if you're not 100%, 100% of the time, then you're not one of the good guys, and that's just not the way things get done. So no, Trump is, again, I say, by far and away the best nominee to ever make it across the finish line as either a Republican or Democrat in my lifetime.
Look at Pat Buchanan in his last race, the one you worked in. Who was his vice presidential candidate? Was that Azola Foster, a black woman? Was that a gesture towards political correctness? You bet your sweet bippy it was, as I used to say on the Ronan Martin's Laughing. so even the ideologically pure Pat Buchanan succumbs to the pressures of political correctness from time to time, and it's not surprising that Donald Trump does either. But all we can do is hope and pray that when the chips are down, he's going to come in with both barrels blazing, because that's the only thing that can save us at this point, in my humble opinion, James.
Well, it's funny you bring up Azolla. Of course, I met her and know her and had worked with her back in 2000, and she was actually right on the issues. But so I don't know. It gets down to that ludicrous question. Would you rather have a guy like Jesse Lee Peterson as his VP or Pence? I'd probably have to go with Peterson, frankly, between the two.
Well,
so.
I know, but see, the thing is, you know, still that by, you know, we haven't heard a lot from Azolla Foster. I think she blew through town one time. And in fact, your old stomping ground of Bartlett to sign a book at one point. And after that, the silence has been deafening. It's been nothing but crickets.
Well, that's true, and I'm not here to revamp 16 years ago.
A kind of affirmative action, and quite frankly, I'd love to talk about the one thing that's been lost in all of this that is a devastating victory for the left over the right is the Supreme Court's recent opinion in the Abigail Fisher versus State of Texas case on affirmative action, basically saying we're going to leave it to the powers that be at the colleges and universities and professional schools and jobs and whatnot about what or not to do or not to do about affirmative action, which, you know, wouldn't that have been nice if they decided to leave it to the establishment back in 1964 when they passed the Civil Rights Act? And if there's any affirmative action, it was in favor of white people.
Well, we'll let the audience ponder that rhetorical question. When we come back, I want to stick also, Keith, on domestic terrorism, international terrorism, and they call it peaceful protest. We'll get down to how peaceful one of them was here locally when we come back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
A private meeting with Democratic presidential nominee to be Hillary Clinton allowed Senate Democrats to express their concerns over recent polls showing that Donald Trump was either leading or tied with her in several key battleground states. One senator who attended the meeting told The Hill that some people were freaked out. They were looking down at the polls and asking why it was so close. Clinton's reply was that the problem wasn't her personal political viability, but rather the fact that people are unhappy and they don't trust institutions. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, French President François Hollande, like most doctrinaire socialists, spares no rhetorical exertion denouncing the rich and extolling the redistribution of wealth. And like nearly all socialist rulers, he follows a lifestyle of subsidized extravagance few can imagine, as demonstrated by the recent revelation that his hairdresser is paid roughly $11,000 a month. When confronted about the expenditure, government spokesman Stéphane Le Foll was dismissive. Quote, "Everyone has their hair done, don't they? Few, if any, private citizens would spend a fraction of the amount Hollande does for a haircut, nor would they keep a hairdresser on call 24 hours a day. A true man of the people, especially one who, like Hollande, has a hairline that is retreating northward, can get by on a monthly or biweekly $10 trim. Another cost-effective, albeit drastic and irreversible option can be found in the fact that France is the country that invented the guillotine. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, listen, the motto of this radio show, now in its 11th year, we've done so much I can't even remember what all we've done, and it's been a lot of accomplishments, a lot of victories, a lot of battles, a lot of scars. Our motto through it all has been, and still remains, no retreat, no surrender, no apologies. So I'm not going to ask for your forgiveness that we don't have crystal clear studio quality audio this evening, but I will tell you that I hope to be back in Memphis next week traveling for the program. Got some things we're working on behind the scenes that require me to be out of town here for a few days, but I'm still with you to do the show tonight, and I hope that's enough. And I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Well, Keith and I were talking earlier this week, and Keith, you worded this so perfectly, I hope you can remember exactly how you phrased it. But there was an incident in Memphis last Sunday night, a day after our last show, 6 days ago, that I would like for you to break down to the audience. Tell them what happened.
Well, it seems like a minor thing compared to the murders in Dallas and the murders in Nice, France. But quite frankly, in some ways, it's even more significant. Even though it was supposedly a peaceful protest, no lives were lost in it. It was a Black Lives Matter protest in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, there was a Black Lives Matter protest scheduled, or 40 of them scheduled, in 40 different cities throughout America, and that was apparently much ado about nothing, but it did certainly get the police all in a dither, particularly here in Memphis. But last Sunday night, Black Lives Matter had gangs of blacks with a few white liberal radicals interspersed with them, basically taking over downtown Memphis, embarking from one place to another, from Beale Street. And what they accomplished was blocking the Interstate 40 bridge, the so-called Dolly Parton Bridge, as the truck drivers call it, here in Memphis over the Mississippi River.
All right, it's the Hernandez and the Soto Bridge. It's the iconic bridge here in Memphis that you see in all the pictures of the Memphis skyline. Tell them why that particular bridge, that particular route, is so vital to America's distribution, particularly here in Memphis.
Well, it's the major east-west thoroughfare for vehicular traffic, and in particular truck traffic, between the East Coast and the West Coast throughout the heartland of America.
Interstate 40, folks. This wasn't some side street that they blocked off or even some major city street. This was Interstate 40, I-40 at the Memphis Bridge, America's distribution center, as Memphis is also called.
And they blocked it off for 6 hours, and the police were frozen in fear and fecklessness, doing nothing. The left knew exactly what they were doing. They had to do this through Black Lives Matter because that brings to mind the sainted civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. And no police chief anywhere in America wants to be labeled the new Bull Connor.
Well, see, this is the thing. Back in the 50s and 60s when they would pull stunts like this, they got fire hoses and dogs. Now, basically, the police's tactics was just wait until they got tired and went home alone. Wait until they get tired and go home was basically the tactic of the police. It was the most...
What was really incredible was you have a picture of the police chief and then later the mayor with their arms, around the shoulders of the chief organizer, some heretofore unknown black minister. Is there any other, is there any black guy in America that's not a minister? But anyway, this guy, it turns out the policeman and the mayor were making buddy-buddy with, had two outstanding warrants at the time. He should have been arrested. But instead, the powers that be in Memphis are so frozen with fear that they're up here trying to be chummy with this criminal who's leading a protest. He's breaking the law at the time, and James has some wonderful footage of what really went on that the mainstream media didn't cover. For example, you had people in masks climbing all over 18-wheelers, threatening the drivers, and had everybody totally locked up on the bridge. You had people suffering heart attacks, children with life-threatening conditions that were not able to get to the hospitals from Arkansas because of this blocking of the major bridge over the major thoroughfare that goes through middle America for traffic.
When you block a major American interstate, one of the busiest, as Keith's mentioned, for 6 hours, I bet that traffic jam went all the way back up to Jackson, halfway to Nashville, starting at the Memphis Bridge.
Yeah, well,
6 hours.
Back to Little Rock on the other direction. So,
correct.
And, you know, they threatened to do it the next night, and the Arkansas State Trooper is not quite so feckless as the Memphis Police Department. Had tons of cars and tons of personnel at the way station just over the bridge in Arkansas, ready to pounce into action. They weren't going to tolerate another blockage like that. But this whole episode was masterminded by the Mid-South Peace and Justice Center, which is the Memphis affiliate of ACORN, Associated Community Organizations for Reform Now, the group that Barack Obama was affiliated with, and also the people that were guided by Saul Alinsky, who was Hillary Clinton's mentor.
Now, do we know that for sure, or was this spontaneous? Because I haven't heard them mentioned. Not that the press would mention it, but I don't have any evidence.
No, it is. I recognize some of the people, and I know them to be members in the hierarchy of the Mid-South Peace and Justice Center in Memphis. Now, ACORN, they're part of ACORN. ACORN is being largely financed by George Soros. I think this whole episode was something of a dress rehearsal for something that is likely to go down in Cleveland this coming week. Hide and watch, folks. We'll just see what happens.
Let's not forget that this is a crime. I mean, they say it's peaceful. Now, we had reports from people who said they were menacing stranded motorists with baseball bats. I don't think there was any violence. Certainly, there was no bloodshed. But I think this is a terrorist act. They were climbing on top of tractor trailers. Not one arrest. You cannot block American interstates, federal highways, for 6 hours, and that not be a crime. Not one arrest. Everyone on that bridge who was not in a vehicle should have been arrested and taken to jail. And the police waited for 6 hours before they sent their interim director in there, who marched hand in hand, arm in arm, locked arms with the protesters as a show of solidarity. And the media, of course, praised him for how well he handled it. No, all he did was send a message that you can do whatever you want. And not only are you not going to have the laws enforced against you, we'll come and hold hands with you and pat you on the back. And if you decide you want to commit crimes, I guess we'll sit there and ask if
it was this simple. I'm a black man first, and a policeman and a police chief second and third.
Well, what about the chubby white mayor of Memphis, who was also aiding and abetting this thing by meeting with these thugs in a church the very next day to try to acquiesce to their demands, and then they still got upset. They said he didn't give them enough, so they went and shut down the street in front of Graceland the very next day on Tuesday or on Monday. Monday or Tuesday of this week, they shut down traffic at Graceland.
Well, you're giving the perfect example of why our slogan, no retreat, no surrender, no apology, is so appropriate. It doesn't matter how much you bend over and kiss behind, you're never going to come out looking any good when you try to appease and mollify the left, and particularly minority leftist agitators. There's no, it's a losing proposition. It makes you look ridiculous. It never accomplishes anything except emboldening your enemies. And it doesn't matter how hard Jim Strickland, the white mayor of Memphis, who's a Democrat, by the way, is going to pucker up and kiss Fanny for Black Lives Matter. He's not going to be given a pass. He may as well be the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan because he's white. And the sooner he realizes that, the sooner he can start resembling a man rather than a mouse.
Well, I'll tell you this. When you coddle people who are breaking the law, when you don't enforce the laws because of the color of their skin, and believe me, if it had been a conservative group, if it had been a white group, and they had been out on that bridge blocking traffic for 6 hours, what would have happened to them, Keith?
They would have been stuffed in cuffs so fast and make your head spin.
And see, and when you coddle these lawbreakers, you send the message and set the example that anything goes, whatever they want, it'll be aided and abetted by the media, who excused their actions and, in fact, talked about how great it was, and by the law enforcement here in Memphis, and at least at the head of it, at least at the top of it. Now, I know a lot of beat cops who are really mad about this. And, of course, the mayor of Memphis, all in the tank on this one. Every one of them should have been arrested. Absolutely every one of them. No tolerance for breaking the law. We got to take a break, Keith. We're going to come back and talk a little more about this. Stay tuned, folks.
Okay.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so we've been talking about terrorist attacks in France, domestic terrorist attacks in Dallas, and now just lawless demonstrations. That's, I think, the most accurate way you can put it. And I'd like to provide a compare and contrast give you a tale of two demonstrations. Last year, almost exactly a year ago to what happened on the bridge last weekend, we helped promote a Confederate flag rally at Nathan Bedford Forest Park. And because I was helping promote this event, I was contacted by the local branch of the Department of Homeland Security here in Memphis and told in no uncertain terms, and we talked about this a lot last year, and there's been a lot written about this, but as you know, and if you're a new listener, I'll tell you for the first time, but as our established listeners and audience may remember, I was told in no uncertain terms to stop promoting the event, even though the organizers had obtained a permit for the grounds on that day and time. Now, they were polite, the DHS was, but they... And they didn't say we couldn't proceed, but only that we couldn't publicly promote it. Now, your guess is as good as mine as to why. The event ultimately went on as planned, drew more than 500 people, business professionals, family, women, children. An incredible event, but attendance was most certainly suppressed by the Department of Homeland Security. All right, so there's one example. Last weekend, as we've been talking about in the previous segment, Black Lives Matter militants blocked the Memphis Bridge, the Hernando de Soto Bridge, spanning the Mississippi River. They completely shut down Interstate 40 at the bridge for 6 hours. There was over 1,000 of them. They did not have a permit for that, to say the least, and there's a lot of laws forbidding such behavior. Fellow Memphian Todd Starnes of the Fox News Network wrote an article about it that I thought was quite strong, and we posted it on the website earlier in the week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'll just read a quick couple of paragraphs from Todd Starnes, and I'll toss it back to Keith. This is what one of the Fox News radio hosts, and again a fellow Memphian, had to say. Black Lives Matter protesters laid siege to a number of cities last weekend, including my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. They shut down the Interstate 40 bridge over the Mississippi River, stranding thousands of motorists for hours in sweltering heat. Blocking a roadway is a crime under Tennessee law. Yet, Memphis police officers were told to stand down and allow the agitators to block the Hernando de Soto Bridge. They used to call that kind of behavior aiding and abetting. Not a single person was arrested. Police say it was a peaceful protest, but photographs taken from the bridge show a very different situation. In one instance, young men climbed atop a tractor trailer while raising their fists in defiance. Television news reported that the protesters blocked a car trying to escort a child to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Apparently, that child's life did not matter to the protesters. The car was eventually allowed to pass, but only after police intervened. We have no idea how many emergency responses were hampered by the gridlock created by the BLM crowd. We have no idea how many people missed family events or missed work because they were trapped on the interstate. Peaceful protesting is one thing. Domestic terrorism is another, Todd Starn concludes by writing. Instead of turning a blind eye, the Memphis Police Department should have sealed off the bridge at both ends and arrested every single person. That's not what happened. The rule of law matters. Without it, we've got anarchy. So, Keith, again, to provide a comparison, when we participated in a legitimately peaceful gathering at a city park for which all of the appropriate channels were navigated, we were harassed by the local authorities. But when law-breaking, chronic malcontents closed down a major interstate artery and other downtown thoroughfares for 6 hours, they get excuses made for them by the press and coddled by the city government. The local media interrupted regularly scheduled broadcasting on all of the television network affiliate stations in Memphis last Sunday night to bring live coverage of what they continued to call a peaceful protest. They must have repeated the word peaceful every 5 minutes. And rather than peaceful, I would say that the protest should have been reported as being hostile or lawless. This is the precedent that's being set, Keith. When people are not held accountable for their actions, it's going to be bad. I was most certainly thankful, although a little surprised, that no serious violence erupted in downtown Memphis last weekend. But as you said earlier, my friend, I fear this is just a tremor before the next earthquake. This summer is going to be wild. Donald Trump says he's the law and order candidate. I pray that he is, and I pray that he wins.
Well, as the Chinese curse goes, may you live in interesting times. I think we're living in interesting times, James. Also, when it comes to the comparison of our protests back last summer regarding the Nathan Bedford Forrest statue and Forrest birthday compared to the coverage of the Black Lives Matter so-called peaceful protest, which was anything but, It reminds me of the observation, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Our particular protest was like that tree in the forest. If it's not covered by the media, it didn't happen in the consciousness of not only people in Memphis, people in the United States, people in the world. Black Lives Matter is existed because, and that protest in Memphis got wall-to-wall coverage because the media, the medium is the massage, the medium is the message. Mass media controls everything, and this is nothing new. This is exactly what happened in the Civil Rights Movement. They would never cover and never had the cameras rolling when the so-called peaceful civil rights movers were spitting, throwing dog feces, throwing cups of urine on the police. You never saw that, but when a reaction of any type was provoked that could be spun into violence on the part of the police, basically trying to restore order in the business centers of their communities at the time, that's when the camera started to roll. Likewise, on this Memphis Interstate 40 bridge debacle that happened last week, the cameras intentionally did not cover the threats and the violence and the cursing and the anything but peaceful protest characterizations of what went on at that event. They just would cover someone, you know, coming by singing We Shall Overcome or something like this. Nothing, the media controls things. The media controls everybody's perceptions. They've been doing it since the Civil Rights Movement, since the development of mass media. Now that we have other alternative sources like the internet and like your cell phone and things like this, some of the truth is getting out, but it's still not being reported on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, or even Fox News. So consequently, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? Well, it's our business to make sure that you hear loud and clear that tree that falls in the forest, James.
That's what we do, and we do it better than anyone else. And we've been doing it for 11 years, and if God wills it, we'll be here 11 more. If our audience wants us to be and continues with their support, we'll be here as long as we can. But to watch the way the media covered this, it's impossible to believe that the media could honestly see it the way they're reporting it. These are just people. To watch these people who were there try to grapple with the English language, it was a Herculean struggle, and it was embarrassing to watch. It was embarrassing for Memphis. It was cringeworthy, and it will continue. And you know it will continue because it's been proven, and I don't want to beat a dead horse now because we covered it. We'll move on after this, but it's been proven that there's going to be just no repercussions for the lawlessness if you are a support group for the regime. Hopefully that will change. But hopefully we won't have to find out. We'll hope it won't happen.
This is why we've said, James, that if Trump is elected president, he needs to hire you and me and some other people to be his new media. Because the old media will continue to portray these thugs with Black Lives Matter as if they are a chorus of angels, basically, coming down to visit from on high.
Not one media outlet reported the obvious fact that they kept saying they're peaceful. They're doing a great job. This is the way American democracy works. Not one, they're blocking an interstate. Not one media said this is illegal. Not one.
Yeah,
all the local press was all over it, like white on rice. This made national news last weekend. Not one said that this is a crime. But I mean, Todd Starnes did, but I'm talking about Washington Post, New York Times, not any of them.
Well, that was not the impression you got from watching all of the news coverage. I watched it, and it was like angelic host singing Hallelujah had come down to visit Memphis and block this bridge. I saw also some footage that I could put together and break down that other people didn't. I saw people from the Mid-South Peace and Justice Center out there orchestrating the whole thing. And that's what really put me on to what's going on. This is all being funded, financed, and masterminded by George Soros and Acorn. And people like that who are anti-American, who are anti-nationalist, anti-people, anti-white, and they are globalists. And they're trying to make sure that the forces of nationalism and populism do not win in these upcoming elections, in these interesting times we live in now, James. We've got to make sure that populism and nationalism gets a fair presentation to the public. We're voices in the wilderness. Even Fox News won't do it.
Well, I don't know who's paying for it, who's behind it, and I'm not going to say that doesn't matter. It does matter. But what matters more is how you respond to it, regardless of who's behind it. How you respond to it, how you respond to it is by enforcing the law robustly. Anyway, we got to take a break. That's all we have to say about that. We'll come back. We're going to shift gears. Keith, think of something you want to talk about. And I'll turn you loose at the top of the next hour. Keith Alexander the Great, James Edwards, yours truly. We're back in a flash. Thank you.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.